السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, we were discussing an incident in the life of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, and together with that, for almost 3 weeks we have been discussing muraqabah of maut, remembrance of death. However, tonight we are just shifting a little to something that you have heard of, and that is fitnas. We have discussed something about fitnas, but because we are living in a time of fitnas, it is necessary that we should repeatedly listen to what types of fitnas are coming and what should we be doing in such times of fitnas. You must remember that fitna is an Arabic word. When you take gold or silver and you melt it on fire to test whether it's genuine or not, we call that fitna. That means it was for testing. That is the reason that when a person is being tested, we say that it is a fitan, it is a test for him, it's a fitna for him. So that's the literal meaning. But this word fitna has got a very wide application. If you look at the hadiths of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the conclusion we come to is that when a time comes when it becomes extremely difficult to differentiate between what is right and wrong, what is good and bad, what is truth and what is falsehood, when the good and the bad all begin indulging in all kinds of sins, and it becomes so difficult that people start making that as a proof, when a person is told that this is haram, this is not permissible, Allah Ta'ala is displeased with this, then as proof he gives you some people who have qualified from some institutions, and they've got some degrees or qualifications in Islamic studies, or they have studied some tafsir or hadith, and they have come to some conclusions which were based on nothing but their whims of their own nafs. So now, since they cannot give up those sins, now people also looking at their lives, then they say that what is wrong if you can see all these learned people doing these type of things. Now that's the fitna time, that now you cannot differentiate, you do not know what is right and what is wrong, because everybody is giving a proof. It just comes to mind that I went to the house of one learned person, a khatib of one masjid. There was a shelf full of kitabs, also Quran Sharifs in those shelves, and then on top of that there were pictures of his daughter's graduation ceremony, of his grandchildren's birthday parties, and of other such things. So I brought this to his attention very, very politely, very gently, that you've got Quran Sharifs on the shelves. I don't know what your opinion is with regards to those pictures and photographs, because just now he will say that that is our opinion. So I said, but at least on top of the Quran Sharifs, to have these type of pictures, these type of photographs, I don't think it is right. It hurts to see such a thing. And in fact, the guests that were walking in, he was actually pointing, that is so and so, that is so and so, and have a look at this and that. But alhamdulillah, he immediately called for his son and said that remove those photographs from there. What Maulana is saying is right, because you got Quran Sharifs there. In other words, it's only because there were Quran Sharifs there on the, so it should not be on top. But otherwise, there is nothing wrong with it. Now, these are the things what we term as fitnas. Now, if somebody has to tell that it is not permissible, this type of photography is not permissible, it is haram in Sharia, then straight away the other person will say, but so and so has got it in his home and it's displayed. Now you can quote all the hadiths, but to this person that is proof, it is dalil, and that is the fitna that we are talking about. These are the fitnas that we are talking about. In fact, one major fitna now is that it's happening in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif. It's happening in Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif, so that is also a proof now for a person's sins. If he wants to indulge in some sin, then he must find proof, not in the Quran and Sunnah anymore, of it being haram. Now he finds proof of it being permissible in the lives of those people who are in Makkah and Medina Sharif. I mentioned, by the way, in one of my majlises here of the concert that took place in Medina Sharif, and it seems to be related now to what I'm just telling you, that we say that it is also a proof of whatever is happening there, so therefore it is permissible. So this is what is happening there. But before I read this out to you, I must tell you that I don't accept anything that just comes in the newspaper. Articles in the newspaper can be absolute lies. There can be a lot of exaggeration, and we have had experience with newspaper reporters that you tell them A, they will report B. And there was an ijtima that took place once here in Springfield. And after that, a reporter asked me that what do these people do? These names which are taken now, that the Jamaat will be going out. So where do they go and what do they do? So I explained to him that these people, for the purposes of reformation and change and Islah, now they will be forming groups and they will be going throughout the world. And they will be inviting the people towards Allah and towards Deen, because he was a Muslim reporter. And whilst inviting others, then they will be improving their own lives. Those who are not performing Salat, then it, in that group, they get into the habit of performing Salat. I tried to explain to him what really happens. The next day in the newspaper, there was a report. Maulana Yunus Patel, the secretary of the Jamiatul Ulama, that time I was the secretary of the Jamiatul Ulama, states that after that conference or ijtima, groups of people will be going to Uganda and other parts of the, will be going to all parts of the world, including Uganda, to improve the economic condition of that country. Now, can you imagine the number of phone calls I got after that, that what kind of a statement you gave, that the Jamaats are going to Uganda to improve the economic condition of that country? So these are the type of lies, and there are so many instances of this nature. So I don't just accept it on the basis of being a report in the newspaper. However, this I verified, and one of my friends from Medina Sharif, in his voice you could sense that the person is so deeply hurt at what had happened. And after that, some of those who returned and who were there during this period of time, so I confirmed with them, and they verified that indeed we were told to put off our lights so that we can have a better view of the firework display in Medina Sharif. So some people wanted to know that where did we get this from. So it states here that in a country without cinema, theater, bars or nightclubs, a visit by the Crown Prince Abdullah is an occasion to celebrate. And then it goes on, and after that we get that more than 30,000 people packed into the city's sports stadium on Tuesday for a spectacular sound and light show that had the crowd cheering and dancing into the early hours. Thousands more are expected to watch an open-air Arabic music concert today near the Mosque of the Prophet, where Prophet Muhammad is buried. A royal visit is one of the few occasions of letting off steam here. Everyone is extremely happy in Medina now, said an employee of Medina's governor. Women, however, could only watch the spectacle live on television. And then after all the other reports, it says it was a sure sign that the evening, a lavish musical mixture of historical narrative, high-tech laser shows, parades and dances. Is it on now? Ar-Rahman-Ar-Rahim. It seems that some sound has come. So I will repeat this last statement again. It was a sure sign that the evening, a lavish musical mixture of historical narrative, high-tech laser show, parades and dazzling fireworks had been a success, and it appeared a notable achievement for the chief organizer, Prince Faisal, the young son of the governor of Medina and perhaps a rising star. And then, of course, they talk about how this is a sign that democracy is now coming to Medina Sharif and Saudi Arabia. But what I just mentioned earlier, listen to this. Police and soldiers kept the throng at bay as the trio, that is Prince Abdullah, the defense minister, and his two brothers were having sword fights. So police and soldiers kept the throng at bay, watched by the huge royal court retinue, went through their routine, gesturing high with the flashing blades to wild applause. But then it says that somewhere, there were many, many of those people who were learned scholars in that Mubarak place. They say that they were fighting and jostling with each other for a place in the front row to watch this dazzling show in Medina Sharif. Brothers, when this is going to happen, then can we say that our dalil and proof of indulging in any kind of sin, we must look for some example in Makkah and Medina Sharif, that if it's being done there, then it is permissible. What kind of hurt and injury and pain it must have caused to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba ikram that lie buried there, and to the awliya of the ummah who assembled in the masjid of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If it is not for their du'as, and if it was not for the rahmat of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, we don't know what kind of azab would come with these type of actions. So very soon, it's going to be Ramadan, and there is a great desire in the hearts of everybody when Ramadan comes, that we too should head for Makkah and Medina Sharif. And it has become like a status symbol now, that I made so much Hajj, I made so many Umrahs. I'm not saying that that Mubarak place should not be visited. We should go there if Allah Ta'ala takes us many, many times. It's our good fortune. But what I'm saying is that when we go there also, these fitnas are going to catch us. There are going to be fitnas right, left, front and behind us. And pouring also, as that hadith comes again to mind, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned. He climbed on a hill and he asked that, "Do you see what I see?" The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah alayhi majmain, they said that no. He said, "I can see fitnas pouring into your homes, like how rain pours on the roof tops, like that fitnas are pouring into your homes." And this was a time when there were no fitnas there. When there were no fitnas, at that time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned it. We must remember that Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, one was, he taught the ummah that this is halal, this is haram, this is jais, this is najais, this is how you should make namaz, this is how you should give your zakat, this is how you should fast, and this is how you should make hajj. There are all the ahkam, this is how you should make nikah, and all the rules and regulations of talaq and all the rest of it. That is one aspect of his life. And another aspect of his life is where Rasul Pak informed the ummah of whatever was going to happen till the day of Qiyamah, so that they may protect themselves, so that they stay away from those fitnas that were going to come. It was like a warning that a very, very beloved father is giving to a beloved child, that don't take this route, otherwise you are going to head for destruction. Or if it's a close friend and a good friend of someone, and he says, "Look, I've just come through this road here. Don't take that road, because there are hijackers there, there are murderers there, there are killers there, or there's animals there that will devour you. Don't take that route. It's a very dangerous route. There's another very, very safe route. Take that route." Now, if that person believes that this is my friend, and he is telling me for my goodness. He has got my feeling at heart. He is concerned about my safety. So then he will accept his advice. Now who could be more loving, more caring for the ummah than Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, it is mentioned in the hadith, that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was da'imul fikra, mutawasilul ahzan. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was in fikr all the time. There was a concern on his heart. You could feel, whenever you have to look at him, you could see that there was a pain on his heart. There was some pressure, there was some grief, or there was some worry and concern that he was shouldering and he was bearing. His smile was on the outside, his cheer was on the outside, everything was on the outside for the ummah, because that was his akhlaq. But when he was alone or when he was not talking to anyone, then at that time you could see that there is a fikr. Now what was this fikr of accumulating wealth? What was this fikr and concern? This fikr and concern was that the ummah should save themselves from the fire of Jahannam and they should go to Jannat. They should receive Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my example is like the example of that person. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives his own example, that he says it is like a person who lights up a fire. And after he lights the fire, the moths looking at the fire, they come headlong. They want to dash into that fire. And they are burning themselves up inside there. So this person who has lit the fire is trying to keep them out. But where the moths are going to listen? I'll give you an explanation. Where the moths are going to listen? Or they're going to take heed? The moths are seeing the fire, and to them it is very, very dazzling and very attractive. And therefore they are dashing headlong. And what happens when they dash? After that they burn and their life is gone. They are destroyed forever. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, now this person, just as he's trying to keep the moths at bay, in the same way with regards to the ummah, the fire of Jahannam is lit. People are rushing headlong towards the fire of Jahannam. The ummah is rushing because we are being dazzled like how the moths are being dazzled by the fire. In the same way the cinemas, the theaters, the casinos, the music and all the entertainment scene, the prostitute quarters, the escort agencies, which place of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you do not find them. And they are dashing headlong and they are going and jumping into that fire of Jahannam. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that I am catching them by the waist and trying to pull them away from there. This is the concern that he had. This is the kind of feeling he had for the ummah. He says that I am holding them by the waist and pulling them, that don't go because you will burn yourself in that fire. That is the kind of concern he had. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to reveal ayats of the Quran Sharif. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. It seems as if you are going to give your life. تم اپنے آپ کو ہلاکت میں ڈال دوگے کہ یہ لوگ کیوں ایمان نہیں لاتے. You don't have to go to that extent. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving him some consolation. Allah ta'ala is telling him that don't go to that extent, that you destroy yourself in the process. So much of concern and so much of fikr for them. But it shows that what kind of concern he had. His restless nights were for the ummah. For whom else was it? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all the difficulties, all the hardships that he bore, there was no selfish motive in there, as I mentioned in my Jummah talk, that for all of us, if we are doing something, there is some motive behind it. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no motive because they offered it to him. There was no question of him trying to accumulate wealth by this means. He did not want the women. He did not want the kingdom because these things were offered to him. That if you stay away from this invitation towards the deen, then we will make you the king. If you want to become king, we'll make you the king and the ruler. If you want wealth, we'll give you all the wealth that you need. And if it is women that you want, then all our daughters are available for you. You can marry them. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, even if they put the sun on my right hand and moon on my left hand, I will not stop inviting towards this. Either I die in the process or the deen of Islam flourishes. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had no other concern except one, that we should save ourselves. So therefore, to go to Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif, it's a very Mubarak thing. The Rosa of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, 70,000 angels are descending there. 70,000 angels. And only one opportunity they get. The next time another 70,000 will be coming. And according to another hadith, there's a 70,000 station there. On certain duas when they make Ameen, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got so many different kinds of arrangements made for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But these fitnas are attracting our youth away from the Haram Sharif and away from Masjid al-Nabawi alayhi salatu wasalam to the sporting stadiums of Makkah and Madina Sharif. Even on the 20th, on that eve of New Year, they will be having parties in Arafat, in Mina, and in other places. And you will find South Africans also there. You will find South Africans also there. Plenty of them. And this time, with this millennium thing, it's going to be in the month of Ramadan and towards the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Imagine at that time celebrating or having a party in Mina and Arafat, celebrating what? New Year's Eve. Celebrating what? Christmas. And this is not something that I'm taking out of my pockets. Ask those people who have been there at that part of the year. So who are we bluffing with our Islam? Who are we bluffing with our Umrahs and Hajj? It's a very good thing that we go there. But if we haven't recognized the Rabb of Baytullah first, then even there we are going to be misled. Baytullah is the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One person was going for Hajj, so his Shaykh told him, Nafil Hajj. So his Shaykh told him that, where are you going? He said, I'm going for Nafil Hajj. Baytullah, Hajj ke liye jata hun. He said, Rabbul Bayt ko pehchana hai. Have you recognized the Rabb of that Bayt? He said, no. He said, well, then you come with me. He took him, stayed in his company for some time. When he purified him, when he cleansed his heart, when the Noor and the Ruhaniyat came inside, he said, now you go. And now when he went, he did not just see a house there. He didn't see just four walls there. Now he saw the Noor that is linked from the Baytullah right up to the Baytul Ma'mur and from there up to the Arsh of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But the sight only came after there was this purification. But just to go there and crowd and just in and out, just go make namaz and come back, and that namaz too is just hit and run namaz. Last minute we just dash there, and the first minute we are out from there, because back into the bazaars and marketplaces, and then get caught up in these type of fitnas. Because if it is not going to be happening there at that time, then the television screens will still be showing. Whatever is happening in Cairo, what's happening in America, what's happening in China, Timbuktu and Honolulu, they will still be showing on those televisions. So those same hajis and the umrah makers, they will still be glued up there. So brothers, I know that most of you, alhamdulillah, will not be in that situation, but these tapes, they go far and wide, and lots of people, alhamdulillah, benefit through it. Therefore, who knows that if this deep-hearted pain of mine may reach somebody's ears, and even if one person says that I won't indulge in that haram there anymore, then my maghfirat will be made too. Brothers, it is not a simple thing. It is not a trivial matter. It's a very serious matter. These are fitnas that are coming. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, imagine 1400 years ago, he said, regarding Makkah Sharif, he said, when the stomach of the earth of Makkah Sharif will be sliced, when the stomach of the earth of Makkah Sharif will be sliced, and roads like canals will be made, roads like canals will be made, and when the buildings of Makkah will rise higher than the mountains, then you must believe that the time of fitna has arrived. Which of these three things? Now we must look back. 1400 years ago, did they ever think that there will be such a thing as tunnels running from one end of Makkah Sharif to another end? We are not talking there about it being a najais or not permissible for the facility of the hajis. If all these things are made, alhamdulillah. In fact, this is my one hope in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as far as those leaders of Arabia are concerned, that all their weakness, all their sins and all their shortcomings on one side, but what they are doing for those who are making Hajj and Umrahs, and the cleanliness of the Haram Sharif, what they spend on that, and the beauty of the masjids, and the millions or billions that they spend on providing all kinds of facilities for the hajis, it is something that is unsurpassed in the history of Islam. And because of that, who knows, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will say, well, since you did so much for those who came and made Hajj and Umrah here, therefore I forgive you. So we are not talking about any particular individual. How Allah Ta'ala will deal with him on the day of Qiyamah, we don't know. We must have hope Allah Ta'ala forgives each and every one of them. But why I'm saying this is that we ourselves must try to restrain ourselves from those fitnas. That it is actually for us that when those fitnas are inviting, do we also get caught up there? I think I mentioned in one of my talks that once I was going to Overport City, but I see everybody rushing there, rushing from the outside. Men, women, children, ladies with scarves and men with topis and children and everybody rushing as if something is really happening there. So I got very worried that there's a bomb blast or what happened there. But when I went, just before I could enter, I could hear the loud music. And then I came to know that on the floor there was some special band that was playing music and there was a dancing and all that. So people from the top now were watching there. Now everybody was rushing headlong there just to go and watch. This is how weak our iman is. Yet we just hear a little bit of dum dum and we are gone there. A little bit of music and we get attracted like the Pied Piper of Hamelin. How the rats followed him, that is how we follow immediately. So when Dajjal is going to come with the best of music in town and with all his magical tricks, when there will be so much of famine, and at that time he will say that what you want? You want food? I will cause the crop to grow from here. You want rain? I will cause the rain to come down. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send this as a fitna that the people will look at it and they will say, well, there's definitely Allah now. Nauzubillah. So when that music is going to attract them in that manner, those people who at present are falling headlong for all these type of things, they are rushing towards it. They are not concerned about Islam and Sharia and Deen. It is just enjoyment that they want. So then it will be very dangerous in those times of fitnas. And the Dajjali fitnas have started already. That real Dajjal will come when he will come. But you can see already people are getting caught up in all these Dajjali fitnas. And especially now when it's happening in Haramain Sharifain, these Mubarak places. So therefore it is necessary, it is very, very important that just as we are looking forward to sawab on good deeds, that you make nafil namaz, you get so much sawab, ishraq namaz, so much sawab, tahajjud namaz, so much sawab, we must look forward to it. That is the haqq of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, that we engage in this optional ibadat. Is the haqq of the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. What kind of muhabbat we got for Allah Ta'ala that we're not prepared to make 2 rakats extra nafil namaz any part of the day, or read a little bit of Quran Sharif, or to make a little bit of zikrullah. So that is the haqq of muhabbat. But the haqq of azmat is that we restrain ourselves from haram. Without that we cannot reach Allah Ta'ala. There is no question of becoming Allah Ta'ala's walis until we don't give up haram in our lives. But at present we just don't want to even think of that area of our lives, because it hurts the nafs. It's very painful on the nafs. To give up sins is painful on the nafs. It's not an easy thing. Especially those who are addicted to some kind of sin, then it is a pain on the nafs to restrain. But in these times of fitna, Allah Ta'ala forgives very quickly too. The person makes a little bit of tawbah, sincere istighfar, and he turns towards Allah Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala very, very quickly accepts him, opens the doors for him. And then that enjoyment that he was getting in all that filth, which was no real enjoyment, because illicit love relationships, as I mentioned, that Mullah Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi says, ye ishq nahi hai, ye fisq hai. See what is happening to those people involved in all these illicit relationships. How much of murders and killings, how much of jealousy and envy, and how much of court cases and things are happening just because of this illicit love relationships. So build this love with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It is a haqiqat that there is such a thing as the love of Allah. And when this person will get the love of Allah Ta'ala in his heart, his whole life will become a life of peace and happiness, contentment and satisfaction. There will be so much of noor that he will enjoy himself, and not only himself, but wherever he will go, in whichever gathering he will sit, even those people will find that they are getting sukoon, they are getting peace, they are getting comfort, and they are finding some kind of noor inside their own hearts. When we will get it, then others will get it. اپنے دل کو کسی جلتے ہوئے دل کے قریب کر دے یہ آگ لگتی نہیں ہے لگائی جاتی جس قلب کی آہوں نے دل پھونک دیے لاکھوں اس قلب میں یا اللہ کیا آگ لگی ہوگی جس قلب کی آہوں نے دل پھونک دیے لاکھوں اس قلب میں یا اللہ کیا آگ لگی ہوگی. This Mashaykh Fawz who light up so much of hearts with the love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, what kind of fire of love of Allah must be in their hearts? What kind of fire? So brothers, these are times of fitna. There is no doubt about it. And fitnas are lashing from all sides, even in Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif. So we must not think that just by going there we are safe from all haram. And especially in that land, when a person is committing a sin, it's multiplied 50,000 times or 100,000 times. Just as we get 150,000 blessings for one neki that we do there, and 100,000 in Makkah Sharif, in the same way the sins also are multiplied. Now imagine, sometimes a person is going there and he comes back with nothing but a load of sins on his back, oceans of sins after going to Haramain Sharif when he is returning. So much of illicit love relationships are taking place in that Mubarak land and Mubarak cities. So much so that even zina is taking place right there. And I'm not talking about people of that place. I'm talking about people who are going there for Hajj and Umrah. So we have to make some effort to purify our hearts. And this, what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned 1400 years ago about the stomach of Makkah Sharif being sliced open and canals, so that canals are these roads. Now we understand that it was these tunnels that he was referring to. Could any person even have imagined 1400 years ago that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that when you see this happening, and when you see the buildings rising higher than the mountains? We couldn't imagine. The Sahabas couldn't imagine that how will the buildings rise higher than the mountains, when just one dome one person made on his house, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam expressed dissatisfaction and the person raised it to the ground. So who could have imagined that the palace of the king, if you are sitting in the Haram Sharif, then you will see that palace rising higher than the Kaaba Sharif, and the buildings rising higher. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned it at that time. And how many people, they are sitting there in the Haram Sharif, but their eyes are there on the palace, going beyond the Kaaba Sharif onto the walls of the palace. And what are they doing? Not expressing some kind of dissatisfaction or anything. Saliva is running out in the mouth. Ha, what a palace. Ha, so much of gold is got. So much of silver is got. Billions is got here. Billions is got there. One person in Makkah Sharif is only telling me, Allah, so and so I met. How much of money is got? So much of money is got. So, in Makkah Sharif, that's all. That person, that Arab person is doing this business and that business. But so much of money is got. I said, why, this place is to tell me how much of neki the person has got. If you told me that person has got so much of neki, because Allah Ta'ala gave him plentiful, so he's doing this and he's doing that and he's building masjids and he's taking care of 100,000 orphans and widows and all that, then I'll say, mashallah. But to tell me that just he's got plenty of money, but he hasn't even got time to make namaz in the Haram Sharif, then what are you so excited about it? There are two brothers there, they both had jewelry shops. Or they're working in the same jewelry shop. So the Taraweeh namaz, so I asked him, I said that you are closed for Taraweeh namaz here. He says, no, well, that's our busy time. So we two brothers share it out. I read 10 rakats, he reads 10 rakats. And this is the truth I'm telling you in the masjid. He says, I read 10 rakats and come away. Then after my brother goes, he reads 10 rakats. Wow. Allah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, first of all, and each and every one who is listening, the tawfiq of obeying him, of pleasing him, and distancing ourselves from all the fitnas and all the haram. When we are going to do that, then only we will get somewhere. Otherwise it will be nothing but just high hopes. Lots of people, they say, oh, I can't get up for Fajr, can you give one wazifa? We can't do this, can you give some wazifa? So I tell them that now when that wazifa will become qaza, now you'll say, can you give me another wazifa, because this wazifa became qaza. Now then afterwards you'll say, Mawlana, I can't manage that wazifa, give me another wazifa now. So then I'll be just giving you a whole chain of wazifas. So make himmat. Allah Ta'ala has given you willpower. If somebody tells you the gold and silver will be distributed there to every musalli that makes Fajr namaz with Jamaat, every morning we'll be giving them 1 krugerrand. Then just see if you have place in this masjid Fajr time. And that's the truth. Just save King Fahad had to send a message from there that now I've got so much of gold, so I decided Masjid al-Noor, whoever makes Fajr namaz with Jamaat, every morning give them 1 krugerrand for the next 10 days. Then believe me, for the next 10 days, we will have to arrange security for parking and and there will be no place anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, and even on the rooftop if we can accommodate it. So brothers, have this muhabbat of Allah, the muhabbat of Allah, when it will come in the heart, then everything will become easy. Everything will become easy. I conclude on that one example, that the old person went to the doctor and he says, my sight has gone very bad. He says, yes, that's due to old age. Say, my hearing is very bad. He says, that's due to old age. Say, my speech is now also bad. He says, that's due to old age. I've got a lot of pains, my knees and hands and back and everything. He says, that's all due to old age. So then he gave the doctor one tight slap. So the doctor said, don't worry, that's also due to old age. Your old age, you get angry like that. So like that, all our weakness is due to one thing, and that is we haven't got the love of Allah in our hearts, and we haven't got the khawf of Allah Ta'ala's azab, and not the khawf of Jahannam. And Allah Ta'ala's ghazab and narazgi, we have got no khawf in our heart. And that is the reason. All our problems are that same thing. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اے اللہ ہم سب کو تیری محبت کاملہ تامہ نصیب فرما, حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سچی محبت نصیب فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے. اے اللہ حضور پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے دین کی محبت ہمیں نصیب فرما. اے اللہ نماز پڑھنا آسان کر دے. اے اللہ ہر گناہ سے بچنا آسان کر دے. اے اللہ تیری مرضی کا کام کرنا آسان کر دے. اے اللہ ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطعن ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما. اے اللہ حربین شریفین کی تو ہر قسم کے فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما. اے میرے پیارے خدا حرمین شریفین کی ہر فتنوں سے حفاظت فرما, مسجد اقصی کی حفاظت فرما, ہمارے مساجد کی حفاظت فرما, ہماری زندگیوں کو پاکیزہ بنا دے, ہمارے قلوب کو پاکیزہ بنا دے, ہم سب کو اپنا قرب نصیب فرما. او اللہ میک اس دا فش وچ سوئمز ڈیپ ان یور اوشن آف معرفت. یا اللہ ڈسٹینس اس فرام ایوری تھنگ دیٹ از ڈس پلیزنگ ٹو یو اینڈ یور پروفیٹ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. یا اللہ گیو اس سچ لو ان اور ہارٹس دیٹ اٹ بیکمز ایزی فار اس ٹو ڈو آل دوز تھنگز دیٹ آر پلیزنگ ٹو یو. یا اللہ دوز ہو آر سک اینڈ ایلنگ گیو دم کیور, دوز ہو آر ان فائنینشیل ڈیفیکلٹیز اینڈ پرابلمز ریموو دا ڈیفیکلٹیز اینڈ پرابلمز, ہو ایور از سفرنگ اینی کائنڈ آف پرابلم اینڈ ڈیفیکلٹی ریموو اٹ. Ya Allah, those who have got no children, bless them with pious and righteous children. Those who have got children, put the love in their hearts for the parents. Ya Allah, unite our hearts. Oh my pyare khuda, hum sab ko muhabbat ata farma. Ya Allah, hum sab ko ek bana de aur nek bana de. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina ونبينا مولانا محمد وآله وصحابه اجمعين برحمتك. You sat in this condition without the fans. Inshallah Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will protect us from the heat of Jahannam. If it was for his muhabbat that we sacrifice a little.